The Youth's Instructor, April 13, 1899, The Resurrection of Lazarus, Part 3. Apparently, Mary and Martha and the dying Lazarus were left alone. But they were not alone. Christ beheld the whole scene. And after the death of Lazarus, the bereaved sisters were upheld by his grace. Did not Jesus witness the sorrow of the rent hearts as their brother wrestled with his strong foe, death? He saw it all. He felt every pang of anguish. And he said to his disciples, "Lazarus is dead." Christ had not only the loved ones at Bethany to think of. He had the training of his disciples to consider. They were to be his representatives to the world, that the Father's blessing might include all. For their sake, he permitted Lazarus to die. Had he restored him from illness to health? The miracle that is the most positive evidence of his divine character would not have been performed. Had Christ been in the sick room, Lazarus would not have died, for Satan would have had no power over him. In the presence of the life-giver, death could not have aimed his dart at Lazarus. Therefore, Christ remained away. To a certain extent, he suffered the enemy to exercise his power. He permitted him to go a certain length, that by his own life-giving power he might drive back the conquered foe. He permitted Lazarus to pass under the dominion of death, and the suffering sisters saw their brother laid in the grave. Christ knew that as they looked on the face of their dead brother, their faith in their Redeemer would be severely tried. Thus he was pruning the branches, that they might bring forth more fruit. He knew that because of the struggle through which they were now passing, their faith would shine forth with far greater power. He suffered every pang of sorrow that they endured. He loved them no less because he tarried. But he knew that for them, for Lazarus, for himself, and for his disciples, a victory was to be gained. This crowning miracle was to give the seal to his mission and divinity. "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." Not then did the disciples grasp the full meaning of these words. But the Holy Spirit, which Christ was to send to them after his ascension, would bring to their remembrance every word that he had spoken, imprinting his lessons indelibly on their minds, that they might have no misconception of his love or of his human sympathy. Christ delayed that by raising Lazarus from the dead, he might give to his stubborn, unbelieving people an evidence that he was indeed the resurrection and the life. He was loath to give up all hope of the Jewish people. They were to him as the poor wandering sheep of the house of Israel. His heart was breaking because of their impenitence. He knew that by their course of action, they would bring upon themselves swift destruction. God would not avert the terrible retribution that was to come upon the Jewish nation because of the treatment of his son. They were loading the cloud of indignation that was soon to burst upon them with uncontrollable fury, leaving them a scattered people and a curse in the whole earth. But in his mercy, Christ purposed to give his deceived, deluded countrymen one more evidence that he was the restorer, the one who alone could bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. This was to be an evidence that the priests could not misinterpret to destroy the faith of all whom they could influence. This was why Christ deferred going to Bethany. As Christ and his disciples drew near Bethany, a messenger was sent to the sisters with the tidings of his arrival. Christ did not at once enter the house, but remained in a quiet place by the wayside. Among the Jews, great outward display was observed at the death of friends or relatives. The numerous ceremonies were carried through with great precision. This ceremonial was not in harmony with the spirit of Christ. He did not wish to meet the sisters in the scene of confusion. And among the mourners were relatives of the family, some of whom held high positions of responsibility in Jerusalem. Among these were some of Christ's bitterest enemies. Christ knew their purposes, and therefore he did not at once make himself known. The message was given to Martha so quietly that the others in the room did not hear. Absorbed in her grief, Mary did not hear the words. Rising at once, Mary went out to meet her Lord. But thinking that she had gone to the place where Lazarus was buried, Mary sat still in her sorrow, making no outcry. Martha hastened to meet Jesus, her heart agitated by conflicting emotions. In his expressive face, she read the same tenderness and love that had always been there. Her confidence in him was unbroken. But she thought of her dearly loved brother, whom Jesus also had loved. Hope was not all dead in her heart, for at last Christ had come. With grief surging in her heart, because he had not come before, yet with hope that even now he would do something to comfort them in their grief, she said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Over and over again, amid the tumult made by the mourners, the sisters had repeated these words. With human and divine pity, Jesus looked into her sorrowful, careworn face. "Truly the branch is pruned, that it may bring forth more fruit." Martha had no inclination to recount the past. All is expressed by the pathetic words, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." But looking into the face of love, she said, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Christ's answer was not calculated to inspire faith in any immediate change. Carrying her thoughts forward to the general resurrection, he said, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha understood him to mean just what he intended she should. "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day," she answered. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. His death will not be eternal. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die." The saints who are living when Christ comes will be translated to heaven without seeing death. "Believest thou this?" Christ asked. Martha did not comprehend in all their significance the words spoken by Christ. But she responded, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." She delivered her message as quietly as possible, for the priests and rulers were prepared to arrest Jesus when opportunity offered.